I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. In a moment we'll stand and in a moment we'll read this together. But look for Matthew chapter 25. We're going to find verse number 14. Might I suggest if you have a cell phone on that you make sure that it's either on vibrate or turned all the way off. And then we don't interrupt the preaching here. If you must step out, it's urgent that you step out, please do so. We don't mind that. But we don't come and go when it's time for the preaching of the Word of God. It takes preeminence in the service. And so we'll want you to give your attention solidly to it. Matthew chapter number 25, verse number 14. Would you stand with me, please? Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. Look back at me for a moment. Let me tell you the title of this morning's sermon. It's called, two words, well done. Well done. Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse number 14, the Bible says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every one according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We're going to stop right there. And you see twice in that passage of Scripture, we see the two words that make up today's title, well done. And let's pray. Father, help us today. Make the interruptions minimal. Might we all do what we came to church to do. We came here to find out what you have to say to us and then to live it. I pray that we'll accomplish that here today. I pray we didn't just come here socially. I pray we just didn't come here to get it off our responsibility list for the day. But I hope that we came today to let the Bible speak to us, to change us, and help us to leave here better than when we came. Now, Father, again, Holy Spirit, reach down and do something with this simple sermon. Use it to help us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I was looking in the Scripture, and I found the combination of those words, well done. I found it 7 times. You see well done in Judges 9:16, and well done in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 30. The words well done are found in Mark 7:37 and Acts 10:33, Philippians 4:14. And then those two words, well done, are found in our Scripture of today, found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, where it says, His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Almost the identical words are found again in verse number 23 of Matthew 25. It says, His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me tell you the story so you understand how these words are used here in Matthew 25. A man of some means gives his servant some money, or some of his servants some money to invest. The man then leaves the country on business. One man was given 5 talents. A talent would have been an amount of money. That man invested his 5 talents and earned 5. Now he has a total of 10 talents. One man was given 2 talents. He invested his 2 and earned 2 more. And now he has a total of 4. Now one man was given 1 talent. He didn't do anything with his 1 talent. He actually dug a hole and buried it. There was no increase. Now, and young people, look right up this way. I don't want to look over there, but you look up this way and be quiet. The rich man who had doled out the funds to his servants, he returns, and he speaks to all 3 of those servants that he had given the talents to. The man who had five that doubled it to 10 presented it. And the Bible says this in Matthew 25:21. It says, his Lord said unto him, well done. Well, then the man that had two talents, that doubled it to four, he presented himself to the master. And this is what the Bible says about it. Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, well done. Now the man that had one talent and didn't do anything with it, he shows up, he presents it to the master. And in verse 26 it says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Oh, it didn't go so well for him. Now, folks, our goal in life is really summed up in those two words that were used in regard to that master toward those two servants that did well. You and I ought to want to hear our heavenly master say someday to us, well done. Well done. Well done. Those words are words you ought to want to hear. Those words are words that we should strive to hear. I'll never forget, my preacher had said to me, we were having a conference, and he had asked me to preach on a particular subject, and I was very intimidated by that subject, and I took it very, very seriously, and just a massive crowd of people, and hearing all sorts of just people with incredible minds, but I was supposed to speak at that meeting, and I was nervous, and I was uneasy, and I was unsure of myself. And I remember I stood up and did what my preacher had asked, and I preached on that particular subject, and I gave it the best that I knew how to give it. And when it was all said and done, I was walking off the platform. He looked over at me and he said, well done, Jeff. That's all he said. Well done, Jeff. Wow. I needed that. And that made it worthwhile. It made it worth everything. But even greater than hearing my preacher say, and he used to get this cute little look on his face. He'd do something like that. He'd, well done, Jeff. I just loved it. But you know, even more important than hearing my preacher say well done is to hear my God say well done. That sentence there, those words that we just read, they contain the individual ingredients that if we can figure out the ingredients in that sentence, I think it will help us to get where we want to be. You say, where should we want to be? Folks, you and I someday ought to hear God say, well done, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Six words. I'm not a real complicated person. God makes things simple, and I'm glad He does, so a country boy can figure it out. You want to stand in heaven someday and do well? You might need to learn, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Powerful words. Powerful words. Those words ought to become the passion of your life. Those words should become the cause of your life. Those words ought to become the purpose of the life of the Christian. That ought to be the standard by which you live. We ought to all look at those words and say, one day I want to hear my Savior say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. And that ought to make it as if God looked and said, well done. That's how it ought to be. I don't know why you live, and I don't know why you do what you do. There are so many reasons why we do what we do. It ought to be that you are passionate about having the approval of your Almighty God. We have the privilege of being called Christians. We have the privilege of knowing the God of the universe, and He deserves that we serve Him in such a way that He could say, well done. I'm just very simply going to talk about those words real quick. I want you to know what it takes to hear the words, well done. First of all, the first word, well. Well, that's a quality. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 22:5, it says, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnifical." Here, God's house, it said that when it's built, it ought to be done in a exceeding and a magnifical way. What's it talking about? It's talking about God deserves quality. God deserves that things be done right. Let me tell you all something. I believe that what we do for God ought to be done right. I don't think God deserves your leftovers. I don't think God deserves whatever you can put together real quickly for God. God deserves the best. Why? We serve the great God of the universe. We serve the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The quality of your work for God ought to be supreme. What you do, do it with a good attitude. Don't do it with bitterness in your heart. Don't do it begrudgingly. You do it because you love God. Hey, God deserves our best. You young preachers, let me tell you something. You say, well, preacher, I think I could get with it, and I think I could preach a great sermon if I had a good-sized crowd to do it to. You better realize something. You better preach with everything that you've got, even if you're preaching to two or three people, because you're a representative of the God of the universe, and it doesn't matter how many people are there. God's Word deserves to be preached in God's way, with God's energy and God's power, no matter how many people are there to hear it. God deserves the best. Well, that's that first word. Well. Well done. Not just done. So many people just strive out. Want to get the job done. Hey, get the job done well. Well done. Let's do all that we do to the best of our ability. Hey, and let me tell you this. Let's be improving our ability. You say, I did it to the best of my ability. Whatever your ability is today, I'd say 5 years from now, that ought to be increased. Don't you think? Aren't you to be growing? You're not to be going backwards. Look, if you're alive, God has something for you to do now. Do it. Don't waste the rest of your life. Don't be, hey, and don't give God again. Don't give God the leftovers. God deserves our best in life and in every area of life. God deserves that you give your best in your relationships. And God deserves that you give your best in your attitudes. And God deserves that you give your best in your work for Him. Hey, I happen to believe that God deserves your best at your secular endeavors. You work out there and you're a secretary or you work in construction. Let me explain something. You may be earning a paycheck, but you are representing the great God of the universe. And if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if you want to hear God be pleased someday, He needs to be able to use the word well. Well done. Well done. God was able to say well done when Peter preached the day of Pentecost. God was able to say, well done, while John was on the Isle of Patmos. By the way, he'd been boiled in oil and exiled to the Isle of Patmos, but he is still able to produce a book called the Book of Revelation that is enamoring to all of us. I think when John finished up the Book of Revelation, Jesus probably went, well done. Well done. David, when he faced Goliath, heard, well done. Mary, who kept herself as a virgin so that the Christ child could come forth from her body. I believe that God was able to say, well done, Mary. Well done. Well. 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 Folks, don't be lazy about what you do. Don't be lazy about how you do it. Do right for God. Do right. Do right so that God gets the best. He deserves the best. You give yourself a lot when you're at work because you're earning money. Let me tell you something. There's something greater for you to earn than money. It is the glorification of your God in what you do. Well, the first word. The second word, done. Done. Not dumb. Done. I wish Mike Owens were in here. His little boy, David. Wednesday night we came into church and David had been in one of the choirs or someplace and he had a dumb sucker. And I walked over to Mike. I said, Mike, how you doing? And little David looked up and said, dumb dumb. I said, Mike, don't be teaching your kid to call me dumb dumb. Mike said, oh, brother. Amber taught him that. The second word is done. Done. Not dumb. Done. What's that mean? Finish. Well done. See, somebody had finished something. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul finished what God gave him to do. Hey, you need to learn to finish what you start.
Complete your tasks. There are many, there are a lot of starters, but it's hard to find finishers. Man, let me tell you something. I find all sorts of people that come to an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church, and they can get started, but they have a hard time hanging in there for the duration because they just can't take the truth. And that's a sad thing. Finish well. God deserves that you finish well. Every one of you, every one of you young people that are going to school right now, whether you're in grade school or middle school or high school, finish school. You don't have it. There's no reason for you to quit school. There are a whole bunch of other people that did it. You can do it. Finish. It said, well done. We're finishing things here. God was able to say, well done to Noah who built an ark, and he got to the end of the project. God was able to say, well done to Paul. Paul stayed right with God in his doctrine and in his practice all the way to the end. Stephen was a deacon that did right, and they stoned him. But you know something? When he was stoned, the Bible says, he looked into heaven and Jesus was standing at the right hand of the Father. You know what I think Jesus did? He looked down and he said, well done. Jesus said, well done to old Paul. Well done to Stephen, I'm sorry. But let me tell you, these are people that finish what they started. And folks, you need to understand something. Your unfinished tasks in life will just frustrate the dickens out of you anyway. So many times the things build up in our lives and we don't finish them. Finish those things. Get it together. Hey, there are some of you, you started the task of reading your Bible. You said, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. There's somebody in here, you desperately need to finish reading your Bible all the way through. You've never done it before. You need to do it. But I see when these words are said, the master said to the servants, he said, well, that is the quality of what he was accomplishing. And then he said, done. What is that? That means something was finished. Let me encourage you all. Let's just be faithful to the end. I don't know how much we'll accomplish between here and there, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching the King James Bible ever since I was a 16-year-old boy. God helping me, I plan to keep this book in front of God's people as the pure Word of God all the way to the end. I go to an old-fashioned Baptist church. I started there. God helping me, I'm going to finish there. Listen, and we need some people that will finish. Quitters are everywhere, bailing out everywhere. Well, that's the quality, done, and that means we're finishing something. Then says, well done, thou, T-H-O-U. What's that? It's personal. Personal. Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Notice, it said there, the psalmist said, I will, I am my soul. Listen, folks. Well done, thou. This needs to be personal. Look, if you go to the right church and your pastor stands for the right things, that does not mean when you get to heaven, God's going to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You need to behave yourself in the way that you hear those words personally. You young people, mom and dad love the Lord and serve God, and they're faithful to God. When you get to heaven, just because it's said to your dad, well done, thou good and faithful servant, doesn't mean it's going to be said of you. You wives, that you look at your husband and say, boy, he serves God and he loves God. He may get to heaven and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But just because you're married to him doesn't mean you're going to hear those words. This is personal. These men that were spoken to by the master, they as individuals had to face the responsibility that was given to them. It's to all Christians. I don't think this is collectively. I don't think God's going to pull all the Christians together that make it to heaven and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think he's going to say it to individuals. You say, well, I'm around some good people. Being around good people is good, but that doesn't mean that the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, is going to be said to you. Listen, everybody here, you ought to strive to hear those words. You hear those words. Not just your Sunday school teacher, you. Not just your husband, you. Not just your wife, you. Not just your dad, you. Not just your mom, you. Hey, not just your kids. I've known many, many a family where the teenagers live better than the mom and dad. Well, your kids may hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when they face God someday, but that didn't mean a mom and dad will. Well done. Hey, listen, did you hear what when I read from 2 Timothy 4 about Paul? Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Three times the word I and once the word my, and I don't think he was being arrogant. I think he took it personally. Now, folks, I'll tell you something. You say, you know, I'll stand up and I'll talk about the old time religion and all that. And there are a bunch of you say, "Amen, preacher. That's good. That's what we want you to stand for." I got news for you. You're to stand for that. You are, not just me. Look at it. I want to stand before the Lord and Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, that is something He may say to me as an individual. I hope He does. I'm not sure that that'll happen, but I want that. But you know what? That's not good enough for you and 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 you. And if I drop over dead tomorrow, there is still an old time religion and there is a stand that needs to be taken for God. And everybody wants somebody to take the stand. And everybody wants somebody to do right. And everybody wants somebody that won't change. But wait a minute. There are many somebodies that are to take that stand and many somebodies that are supposed to believe that way. You stand for what's right. You do what's right. It ought to be that you are the anchor. You say, how many anchors we need? Everybody ought to be an anchor for the old time religion. It ought to be that way. You see, well done thou, not just the pastor. Hey, not just the pastor's wife. Not just our ministry leaders, everybody, you. Not just the deacons. Hey, not just the deacons' wives. And by the way, if you're a deacon or you're a deacon's wife, you ought to be striving to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You say, "Well, I'm a deacon's wife, and my husband, God's going to say that about him." I'm sorry, that's not enough. That's not enough. Now, dad and mom serving the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. But you, personally, or to serve God in such a way that He's pleased. Hey, bus captain, well done. But wait a minute, bus rider, you ought to strive to hear those words. Well done. It's thou. Thou. I think Elijah faced Jezebel in the Old Testament. And I'm going to promise you something. When it was all said and done, I think God looked at Elijah and said, "Well done. Well done." Abraham lived by faith. And boy, we hear about it in the New Testament. Those words pop up. Why? It's God saying, "Well done. Well done." See, the words are simple. Well, that's a quality. Done, that's the process. Did their best to finish what they had started. Thou, what is that? That's personal. That's me. That's you. And some young people, let me tell you something. You say, "Well, preacher, when I get older, I'll get into the old time religion. But right now, I'm young and I want to sow my wild oats." Let me tell you something. You sow your wild oats, you'll reap a harvest that you'll regret. And the old time religion is not just for old people. You say, "Well, Brother Owens, that's easy for you. You got all that old gray hair and you're closer to the end than you are from the beginning." When I was a 16-year-old boy, I was an old time fundamentalist and I believed it back then, and I hope to God I can make it all the way to the end. I don't plan to change up. I don't plan to bail out by God's mercy. But you know, you got to understand something. It's not just for young people. It's for everybody. You, thou. But not that. Not only that, we go on, we see the next word. It says, "Well done, thou good." Good. Well, that good, that's behavior. God requires of us good behavior. Proverbs 12:2 says, "A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." Your behavior, what is that? It's your quality of life. It's your Christian testimony. The quality of your Christianity. We are to be good. Hey, and don't miss this. You're to be good and you're to do good. And there is a combination. John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye should have tribulation, but be of good cheer." There's the be good. We're to be good. But in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. You are to be good, and you are to do good. There are do-gooders who are not being good. That's sad. In other words, you've got positions where you serve, but you're not behaving yourself behind the scenes. That's wicked. That's wicked. Then there are people that are being good who won't do good. You live a pretty clean life, but you won't do a thing for God. You're just along for the ride. Well, if you want to hear those words, well done, thou good, it means you are to be good, and then you are to do good while you're being good. God requires both. What's be good? Be good is living holy. It's not just the absence of bad, but it's the presence of good in your life. You need good friends, and you need good entertainments, and you need a good lifestyle. There it said in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good. Wow. What is that? Winning souls, feeding the poor, restoring the backslidden, getting people under the sound of the gospel. Look, people don't like, you know, on Wednesday nights, and I wish some of you would come on Wednesday night, I'm teaching a series on the subject separation. There, people don't like it. There are certain things that we're to be separated from. Well, I'll lose people in our church over my teaching this on Wednesday night. I will lose people. They don't like my stance on separation. But I've got news for you. You're not to separate just to be clean. You're to separate to be used. It makes you more usable. The people that don't like separation are not usually your soul winners. They're not usually reaching people. Listen to me. You are to be good, and then you are to do good if you want to hear the words, well done, thou good. Good. That's what we're striving for. The way that these people were praised in that way is they were being good and doing good, and they were finishing what they started. They took it personally, and they did it with some quality. But that's not only it. Let's go on. We've got a couple more words and we'll be done. Well done, thou good, faithful. I like that word, faithful. I believe someone asked the question, if there were one quality that a Christian could have, and that's all, what would that quality be? I'd probably have to pick faithfulness. Because if you can develop faithfulness, you can develop everything else. It'll come in time. But in 3 John 5, the Bible says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. Ah, I like that. Remember, well done, thou good and faithful. Now those words are going to be given to someone that's faithful. Faithful's not hit and miss. Faithful's not maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, it's somebody that's going to be where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do, and doing it the right way with the right attitude. They're not just being good, they're doing good, but they're doing good consistency. Consistency in our good. You know, I heard my preacher say once, he said, everything will sooner or later rise to its true character level. Sooner or later, you'll see somebody's real colors. You just give it long enough, and it'll wear on them. And either what they really are that's good will come out, or what they really are that's not so good will come out. I like that. Sooner or later, everybody either rises or falls to their true character level. That's what happened to Judas. He had everybody fooled. But Jesus and his true colors eventually were seen. Faithful. Doing good for a long time. Being dependable. See, real faithfulness is really a quality that is not understood by this generation. And you got to be careful. I can be a little pointed sometimes with how I say things. And if I'm not pointed in how I say it, I'm pointed with what I said. But let me explain something to you. We live in a whiny, crybaby generation. Excuses for everything. I feel sorry for you, Brother Andrews. Finding employees that'll show up when they're supposed to be there doing what they're supposed to do without excuses is almost impossible to find. And then you got to be compassionate. It's okay. It's the 20th time you were late this year. It's okay. I still love you. Some of you wouldn't have lasted in the last generation because when you made all of your excuses as to why you can't do everything that needs to be done, they would have canned you. The word canned means fired. Real faithfulness is a quality misunderstood by this generation. You know, finding people that will show up to do what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it with a good attitude is almost impossible to find. Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
Some of you, if you are as faithful to your church responsibilities and you are as faithful to church as you are if you are as faithful to your secular job as you are to your church duties, you wouldn't have a job. Oh, but you're making money. No sense in giving God quality service whenever it's convenient. Tell your boss that.
Yes.
Tell your boss, well, it was inconvenient to come in today. Oh, he'll just rub your belly and pat your head and tell you it's okay. The word faithful here does not describe quitters. The word faithful here describes someone that's attached themselves to the things of the Bible and the old time religion, and they're faithful all the way to the end. I have to tell you, there was probably a time in my life when I wanted to preach to big crowds and really accomplish something good. I got to tell you something. My whole life has been adjusted to one thing. I want to end up believing right, and that's all. If I can make it all the way to the end, and I am what I was reared to be with this book, if I can end up staying with the old-time religion, no matter what it costs me, no matter who doesn't like it, no matter what everybody else says, hey, I have watched my peers jump off the ship all over the place. Well, I got to tell you, you know what? I just want to be faithful to the end. I've had people tell me for years, said, you're going to calm down. When I first started preaching, they said, you're just a young firebrand, 16, 17 years old. You'll calm down. You'll slow down. You won't be so loud. So far, so good. I'm still loud. I'm still belligerent sometimes. And all I want to do is I want to make it to the end. Faithfulness. You know, Job understood faithfulness, didn't he? He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I think John the Baptist understood faithfulness. He got up and preached and they said, you say that one more time, we'll whack your head off. He said, here goes. And I think when they put his head on the chopping block and they're getting ready to whack off his head, you know what I think he said? Here goes number three. I'm going to say it again. He went down swinging. But John the Baptist still believed, while his head was on the chopping block, what he believed before he was ever threatened with death for his belief. He was faithful. Well, that's the quality. Done, that's finishing the job. Thou, it's personal. Good, that is the behavior and the quality of that behavior. Faithful, that's that consistency. And then finally, the last word, and you'll be glad, servant. 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 Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Here, I think God is saying, if you want to hear those words, you should not be striving for attention, but just to be a servant. You say, I want thus and so position. I'm sorry. You're not to be looking for position. You're just looking to serve. Well, if I can't have what I want, then I'm going to throw a fit. That's what two-year-olds do. Not striving for attention, but just to serve. James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Not looking for a title, just serve. Not looking to be in charge, just wanting to be involved. Humbly doing anything that God needs. Serving others. Not being served. Looking to serve. Servants, you know, servants are not arrogant. They're not proud. Looking to help. Not to get helped. A servant is a need filler. No task is below them. No task would embarrass them. Just a servant. I promise you, I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I'll be 58 years
I'll be 58 years of age this year. I cannot tell you how many times in the duration of my ministry I have watched people that if I did not give them the position that they wanted, they eventually figured out a way to get away from me or the ministry because they didn't get what they wanted. If you want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you've got to adjust your attitude to be and do anything that God needs you to do. Humbly. And by the way, doing it at top quality. Top quality. Listen, you ladies that help clean our restrooms, whether you understand or not, that's a big deal to me, and I think it's a big deal to God. And I thank God. I think our ladies take it very seriously around here. And thank you for that. You stand as much chance of hearing it said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because you humbly do what you do to clean the restrooms with quality and you're faithful to it. Hey, there's some of you, you're going to hear those words. And I know some preachers that are all goofed up in what they believe. They won't hear those words. And you're just a humble servant lady that comes in and helps us clean restrooms. Because you had the right attitude. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." By preaching a sermon like this, I didn't have to study at all. The outline's right there. Makes it simple. I'll tell you a quick story and I'll be done. You've heard of the great D.L. Moody, the Moody Church in Chicago. He traveled and preached out quite a bit. He would get home in time for his church services. He had come in off the road after having traveled across the country. And you have to understand, in Moody's day, you know, when you would travel all over the place, it wasn't quite as convenient as what it is in this day. When you're traveling on public transportation, we're not talking about United Airlines first class $1,300 tickets now. We're talking about a totally different situation. Moody came in off the road. He had the suit that he wore was all tattered from traveling, and he just felt like, "I'm a mess," and he needed to get his suit dry cleaned. There was a dry cleaner just up the road from the church, and Moody stepped back on the property, and there at the front desk there at the church, there was a young man who was a student in his Bible college, and he turned to that young man and he said, "Young man, could you do me a quick favor? I need my suit dry cleaned. Would you run it over to the dry cleaners for me before I have to preach this evening?" And the young man said, "Sir, no, sir, I'm not your valet." And that's what the young man said to him. Moody was a little embarrassed that he had asked the young man. He didn't mean any offense by it. He was just looking for someone to help him get his suit cleaned while he went to his study to prepare to preach. There was another young man standing there, and the kid's name was Jimmy. And Jimmy said, "Sir, Dr. Moody, I'd be honored if you'd let me run your suit over to the dry cleaners." And D.L. Moody said, "Jimmy, I will. Would you run this over to the dry cleaners?" And he did. That young man by the name of Jimmy became the next president of Moody Bible Institute, the next pastor of the church. His name was Dr. James M. Gray. Little Jimmy was learning how to do great things while he was serving in a humble way, just willing to run the suit down to the dry cleaners. I don't know what God's preparing you for. Some of you are going to mess it up because you don't understand "well." You don't understand "done." You don't understand how personal it is, "thou." You don't understand that quality of good, faithful servant. I don't know what your goal is in life. I wish I could get some of you to reset your goal and just make your goal to hear your God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or just this: "Well done, Jeff. Well done." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope the bitterness in your heart did not cause you to miss the sermon. I hope the absence of the Holy Spirit's influence didn't cause you to miss what you just heard. It doesn't matter what you're facing, what you're going through. What I just told you is very scriptural. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I recommend to you that you get saved. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not saved. Then my assumption is, since you did not raise your hand, that you are saved. Then are you striving to hear your master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Is that what you're striving for? If that be the case, why don't you raise your hand and let God see it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, you won't do that doing things your way. You'll do that doing things God's way. You may put those hands down. For some, I wish you'd push the reset button. I wish that you would redetermine what your goal is in life. Let it be to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, the pianist will begin to play. We'll all stand to our feet. When we do, if you need to come and spend a moment at this altar, I wish you would. You know something? There's some of you, you're in your senior years. Can I tell you? Maybe you ought to kind of push the reset button and say, you know, I used to feel like I wanted to be well done, thou good and faithful servant. But now in these years, I'm just going to coast to the end. No, you should have a desire in your senior years to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Say, preacher, I'm going through a burden or a heartache right now. Yeah, that doesn't eliminate the fact that you ought to strive for well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, my life has changed. A few of my dreams have burst. But you should still have the goal of well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, you come. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, that is the quality. Done, that's finishing, and finishing right. Thou, taking it personally. Good, that is the behavior, the quality, and it is being good and doing good. Both. Faithful, that's consistency. That's consistency. Let me recommend that spiritually you not go backwards. If you've cleaned up your life, don't go backwards. Don't lead your family to go backwards. Be faithful. Yeah, Brother Edwards, help out there just for a second. Faithfulness, dependable, servant. That's an attitude. That's an attitude. Who would have thought that the one that humbly said, sure, I'll take your suit by the dry cleaners, was in a preparatory stage to take over the whole shooting match someday because he was humble enough just to serve. If you've heard the name D.L. Moody, you've heard the name Dr. James M. Gray. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, that makes it easy. That puts the jelly on the bottom shelf. Anybody can figure out what that means. Well done. And thank you, Rachel.